On the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic, his website, aisleseat.com. He's a staff writer for Ranker, member of the Critics' Choice Association and Online Film Critics Society. He's a winner of the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters Award for Best Feature in the whole darn state, author of two books. You have a third book in you?
I've been working on one off and on for a few years, but haven't had time to finish it.
So it's in there. Okay, fabulous. At aisleseat on Twitter, and his website is aisleseat.com, and his sponsor, Campus Theater, campustheater.org. He has got a review of Are You There, God? It's me, Margaret.
Judy Blume's classic young adult novel comes to the screen with Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Abby Ryder Fortson plays 11-year-old Margaret, a girl on the cusp of puberty. She and her friends are obsessed with getting training bras and wondering when they'll get their periods, which are really more like question marks to them. At the same time that all this puberty madness is going on, Margaret also finds herself wrapped up in a family drama related to religion. A movie about tween girls trying to increase their bust size and learning how to use pads could be the basis for a smart comedy. Thankfully, like the book it's based on, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret never goes for cheap jokes. You laugh with the characters, not at them, and you laugh in recognition of the awe and fear of how their bodies are changing. This is a very smart, insightful movie about growing up. Abby Ryder Fortson is a real charmer as Margaret, and there are excellent supporting performances from Rachel McAdams as her mom and Kathy Bates as her grandmother. Thanks to their work and a poignant, funny screenplay, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret is a top-notch coming-of-age story. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3.5 sex education lessons.
Okay, I thought maybe you were headed for 4 there.
Yeah, I withhold my 4s for special occasions.
Okay, and this isn't exactly one of them. Tell me about this actress, just a fabulous trailer watch of her.
Yeah, she's got a very expressive face for a young actress, has good comedic timing, has an ability to convey the emotions of the character so that you feel them. I'm a 54-year-old man. I watched this movie and I identified with an 11-year-old girl during it. That's talent when you can do that. And she's just really, really good. I think she has a very bright future ahead of her. Abby Ryder Fortson.
Okay.
Remember that name.
Yeah, remember that. Okay, so we'll be hearing a lot from that in the decades ahead. In theaters?
Yes.
Okay. On what other levels might the 54s and or 63-year-olds among us likely to identify with this?
I think all of it. It's set in 1970, so there's that period setting. But also, this book was very big in the 70s and 80s. I grew up reading tons of Judy Blume books. All my friends did. All my peers did. So I think that this movie has a certain nostalgia factor for us adults who remember reading this book when we were around the age of the character. So that's really, I think, probably the main audience. I mean, you could certainly take a teenage girl, a 10, 11-year-old girl, to see this, and you should, but I think adults are going to enjoy it just as much because we have a memory of that story and the book and reading it and then going through our own puberties. And how that felt, and the movie really captures that.
And it's not a feel-good lesson, but it is a lesson for everybody. What's the sort of the takeaway here?
Yes, that the puberty is scary, but we get through it. And there's also, I didn't say too much about it in my review, but the story is also partially about religion. Her mother is Christian. Her father is Jewish. They don't want to put any pressure on her to be one thing or another, but both sets of grandparents do want to pressure her. So the whole movie is just trying to figure out life as your body is going through all these changes that you have to figure out simultaneously.
Got to make some big decisions.
Right.
3.5
sex education classes.
Oh.
I had lots of different options for that, but I...
Well, yeah, where do you go?
I wanted to keep it tasteful for the morning.
I had three older sisters. I could give you a couple of two, three suggestions myself. All right, so we won't go there. Okay, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. 3.5 sex education classes. All right, we launch right into entertainment news. Jamie Foxx, we talked a little bit about him 2 weeks ago. Now what?
Yeah, Jamie Foxx still in the hospital 3 weeks after he was initially admitted for this mysterious medical complication. Nobody knows for sure what it is yet. There are rumors going around. There's a rumor he had a stroke. Nobody knows for sure. But there was was a little bit of a panic earlier this week because some of his family members went on social media and asked fans to pray for him. And people started to wonder if that meant he was not doing well or that he was at death's door. Jamie Foxx then posted on Instagram that he appreciated all the love. Kevin Hart is coming out now and saying he's been told by family members that Jamie Foxx is improving. So it's still kind of a mystery there, but we're hoping that he's doing better than he was and that he'll be back to normal soon.
Okay, so Jamie Foxx had a strange up and down career, and his not filmography, but his bio has all kinds of little asterisks. Wikipedia page, that is.
Right.
Has all kinds of footnotes and things on it. So, all right, Michael Douglas, about to get a big award. Tell me all about that.
Yeah, at this year's Cannes Film Festival, he will be getting the honorary Palme d'Or. That is the top prize that the Cannes Film Festival gives. And it will be given to him in recognition of his work, not just as an actor, but also as a producer. A lot of the movies that he was involved in, he was a producer on and a driving creative force in getting those movies made. China Syndrome, Fatal Attraction, things like that. And of course, he won an Oscar for producing One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest back in 1975. So he's had a really long and important career in terms of film, and the Cannes Film Festival is going to pay tribute to him.
Well, and not untouched by scandal, but lived an up-and-up life and really focused on film, right?
Yeah. You know, very prolific actor and one of those actors who is always good on screen. Whenever Michael Douglas is in something, whether the movie is good or bad, you know that it's going to be an interesting film or at least an interesting performance from him.
All right. So, good. Congratulations, Michael Douglas, getting an award at Cannes Film Festival. Behind the scenes at SNL movie coming up?
Yeah, this is interesting. Jason Reitman, the guy who directed Juno and Ghostbusters Afterlife, announced he is making a movie based on what happened behind the scenes at the first ever episode of Saturday Night Live. Mm. That was the episode hosted by George Carlin. Andy Kaufman was a guest on it, and of course that was the first time the world at large got a look at Chevy Chase, John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd, Gilda Radner. So that could be a really, really interesting movie, and Jason Reitman, a director I'm a big fan of, I think he's a great person to take that on.
Jane Curtin was in that first episode.
Jane Curtin was in there, Lorraine Newman and Garrett Morris. And in little known fact, there was a guy named George Coe who was a Not Ready for Primetime player on the first episode, and then they scrapped him.
Mm.
So that, a little footnote there, nobody remembers that or him, but he was one of the original Not Ready for Primetime players for like one episode or two episodes.
We'll have to go back and look at that. I'm sure the episodes are on YouTube. If you poke around, you can find them.
Probably. They're on DVD. I have the whole first five seasons of it.
So behind the scenes, we know John Belushi enjoyed some drug use in that stage, that general stage of his career. So we're going to get glimpses of that, perhaps?
Perhaps. I don't know what they're specifically going to focus on. You know, it might just be the chaos of putting on a live show. But it should be interesting.
Okay. Box office, how are we doing these days? Where are we in some of our totals and attendance?
Doing really well. Super Mario Brothers movie continues to clean up. We got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 opening today, which is going to be a huge hit. We've got Fast 10 opening in 2 weeks. That's also going to be a huge hit. Disney's Little Mermaid at the end of the month. So we're at that point where now for the next 4 months, we're going to get big, big movies one after the other. And I think it's really going to lift the box office and build on the momentum that it's already gotten going in 2022 and 2023.
So summer movie season starts in May?
Technically, it starts Memorial Day, but they found that you can release a big movie at the beginning of May and it'll clean up. So they sort of pushed the start date back. Unofficially, it begins first Friday in May, but officially it starts Labor Day,
okay,
or Memorial Day, rather.
You mentioned those five summer films. Anything? What else is in June and July?
We got Christopher Nolan's new one, Oppenheimer, which has a lot of great buzz. We got Greta Gerwig's Barbie movie, which has enormous buzz.
That is crazy. Well, I saw the trailer, and even I liked the trailer.
It looks fun. I mean, that's what caught everybody off guard. It looks really funny and cool and smart. So those are two, I think, to look out for. And then Pixar has a new movie, Elemental, and you can never count out Pixar, so should be a pretty hot summer at the box office.
I think you're right. And I think the pandemic is over and folks are springing back to the box office.
Yep.
Where are we in relation to numbers today compared to 3 years ago?
In terms of profit, it's improving. The number of movies being released is not what it was before the pandemic. 2023 will have the most movies released since the pandemic, but it's going to take another year or two to get back to those early numbers. But with big hits, we've had a bunch of monster hits, Spider-Man No Way Home, Avatar, now the Super Mario Brothers movie. These are really helping to lift the box office and keep theaters afloat in the wake of this time that was very challenging for them.
And streaming movies came out like crazy over the past 3 years. Will that taper off somewhat?
It's going to, because Netflix, Amazon, and others are learning that if you really want to make money, you have to put a movie in theaters first. And that's why Amazon gave a theatrical release to Ben Affleck's Air. It's going to be on Prime Video in, I think, next week, so you'll be able to watch it at home for free. But they realize that a theatrical release gives a movie a certain amount of credibility in the public's eyes. And so Netflix and Amazon are looking to release more movies theatrically.
Any Oscar buzz for the summer films? What will I keep an eye on? Elemental or something else? Or?
Elemental's always, you know, potentially in there for best animated film. If Oppenheimer is as good as everybody expects it to be, that could get some.
All right. What will you see this week, as though I need to ask?
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
I'm sorry. I knew my... Ask questions you don't know the answer to, Mark, so maybe you could learn something. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Movie Mike McGranahan, aisleseat.com, his website. Follow him at aisleseat, and his appearance always sponsored by Campus Theater, campustheater.org.